You're listening to Super Yacht Radio.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made for mommy's thing.
I walk into my silver spurs.
Dear listeners, you are here in the next White Love Sommelier show with Armin Müller, the White Love Sommelier. And today we have not only very lovely spring weather, but we have also a very kind person in our talk, which is Francesco Ricasoli. And he's the owner of the winery Barone Ricasoli. And stay tuned because it will be amazing during the next 2 hours. So, I'm here with Francesco Ricasoli, and it's a great honor to have you here today, Francesco. And we have a lot of time to talk about your winery, about the region. But before we are going deeper into the detail, I would like you to introduce yourself and tell us also what comes into your mind when you think about wine.
Okay. Although I was born into an environment of viticulture and winemaking and wine enjoying, my first job was not in this business, and I was a professional photographer. I was when digital was not existing at that time. And then in the very early 90s of last century, I had the opportunity to come back, and because I have to tell you that Ricasoli as a winery and brand was owned for roughly 2 decades by foreign companies, multinational companies, that at the end ruined very much the image, the awareness and the quality of the brand. So to make a long story short, in 1993, I was able to buy the winery back, the brand. The land, the vineyard, the castle has always been owned by my family. So after a few years, then I merged the two realities, the two companies together. Today, Barone Ricasoli owns all the vineyards, the land, and so far has been done a great job, because you have to know that in the beginning of the 90s was really bad condition. Everything had to be redone. Was really close to bankruptcy. And so I had to start from really the scratch. Having said that, now it's almost 30 years I'm at the head of the winery. We have been replanting the entire estate. We have been doing the new cellar, the new visitor center, the new warehouse, bottling line, practically everything. A restaurant, a museum, a bar, a guest house, and much more. We are very proud because, I mean, Ricasoli, when you mention Ricasoli, you cannot forget to mention Broglio, that is the name of the castle. And these two names are linked since centuries together, because my family has been in this place since a long, long, long time. And the nice satisfaction that we have is that we have a lot of visitors in normal time. Of course, COVID has been limiting traveling, but in normal years, we have really several tens of thousands of people coming to visit visit us, because it's a landmark, is a place where a lot of history has been written, and where today the quality of the wines are back to be world-class wines.
That sounds good. It was a really long introduction. And I think you have forgotten to tell us what comes into your mind when you think about wine. So let's go back to this question.
Okay. Well, being an Italian, I would say wine is food. The wine is always paired with food. And sharing these moments with other people, with friends, family, that's the joy of wine.
That is a good statement. And I think we so often have something to celebrate. So it's always also about emotion and sharing these cool things together. And yeah, Francesco, on your website, you write the history of the Ricasoli family has been linked to wine since 1141. Wow, 1141. When there is written testimony attesting that the Ricasoli family already possessed Broglio Castle. Is this a burden or is this a motivation for you and why?
It's, you know, by the way, I was born into the castle. So these places, my family history, it's part of me. And for me, it's totally normal, this situation and being a Ricasoli. Is also a responsibility, this for sure, because we are living in a small community and Ricasoli has been always a very strong part of this community, is the most important job givers of the community in this area. And so there is a lot of responsibility, yes.
Generally speaking, is it for you more a burden or more a motivation? I have understood responsibility, but to which direction of responsibility does it go?
When I say responsibility, I say that I want to leave a sign. So it's a challenge. I want to leave something that is better respect to when I arrived. And for me, it's also a privilege to be at the head of Ricasoli. And, you know, this place has always been at the edge of what is next. And I like to think that great traditions are the ones that are keeping on and finding new ways and being dynamic, because tradition are always evolving. My great-great-grandfather's, let's say, traditions are pretty different from the one of us of nowadays. And probably my daughter will have slightly different traditions. But the roots are there. And I think it's what we interpret as tradition that changes.
Good. I think the sentence, you want to leave something which is more than when you arrived. I think this is very important. And it says really that you are motivated also to give something into it. And I think that is a very, very good statement. Yeah, Chianti region. I have been many times with my guests in this region. I love it. I love the wine. I love the food. And I love also the scenery. And I know, and everybody knows, Chianti region is one of the most famous wine regions in Italy, together with Piedmont and maybe also the Veneto Amarone region and so on. And yeah, but not everybody has been in the region so far. So can you please tell us a bit about your Chianti wine region? Maybe let's start the climate. How is the climate in your region?
The climate is continental. We have quite cold winters. No excess. Cold for being in central Italy. Hot summers. And nowadays we are having a shorter middle season. So spring and autumn are the one that are maybe slightly changing nowadays with the climate changes and the getting shorter and shorter in one way. We are located in let's say the property is between 200 and 500 meters elevation. And so we have a variability that is quite big from one place to the other. So lots of different microclimates, lots of different terroirs. And we will talk about this because it's very important. We have been doing a lot of studies about zone and terroirs and so far.
Yeah, that would have been my next question, the terroir. You own 240 hectares of wine land. And is it all in one place or is it a little bit distracted in the area? So, and what kind of soil do you have then for the different plots?
So, as you well know, Chianti Classico, that is the area that was originally called Chianti as a territory is spotted with a lot of woods. Chianti Classico counts for 70,000 hectares of land, and only 10% are under vine. Okay, so the same can be said about Broglio. We own 1,200 hectares. And only 240 are under vine. So we have a vineyard spotted different location, and among one and the other vineyard, we have a lot of woods. And this is a great advantage because I think we can keep a very powerful biodiversity. And about soils, yes. More than almost 20 years ago, we appointed a branch of the National Center of Research, so a public institution, to study all our different soils under vine. And we call it the zonation, the zoning of Broglio. And came out 19 different kinds of soils. And we made five different groups because many soils looks one like another. And so five major soils are the one that are the most representative. Starting from the higher altitude, we have sandstone arenaria that is very much the backbone of the small chain of mountains called Monti del Chianti. And then a lower altitude, we have Alberese, that is a sort of limestone, very, very calcareous, very poor of organic substance, with some clay. In between Alberese and Arenaria, sandstone, we have Schistus. So Galestro, so is a much darker soil that is originated by clay that has been compacting together. And then we have at lower altitude, let's say 300 meters above the sea level, we have marine deposits, quite rare in this region. And it's quite a fascinating because it's plenty of pebbles, you know, round stones, because there was the beach there. And you can still find...
Normally, it's more found in the Maremma region, right?
Yeah, you see, you can still find marine shells.
Yeah, I can see. Wow.
Yeah, very interesting. And then in the valley of the River Arbia, we have what we call fluvial terraces. So very ancient soil that has been collapsing on the slope of this valley and are very, very interesting soil. On these soils, we have been doing a research in mapping the different character and style of our Sangiovese. But this is another story.
Yeah, but this leads me to the next question. As you have so different types of soils, are you then also creating different types of Sangiovese, which you market and under different names?
Yes. You know, first of all, let's start from Chianti Classico. Chianti Classico is made by a minimum 80% of Sangiovese and the possibility to use also 100%. So 20% is what the producer is allowed to use with other red grape varieties. Having said that, historically, Chianti Classico has always been the result of a blend of different, even different Sangiovese. With our research, we started to, let's say, examine, to study more deeply our Sangiovese, our different clones of Sangiovese, and with specific regard to where these Sangiovese are planted, on which kind of soils. And we did that for many, many years. And at the end, we decided that some of these needed to be emphasized or respected because they were really having a very remarkable character. And so one of these is Colle di Lau.
This is a wine we will taste together in a couple of minutes, yeah. And
Colle di Lau is the first single vineyard Sangiovese, pure Sangiovese. And then several years later, we made other two Sangiovese, pure Sangiovese, from the marine deposit soil and from the fluvial terraces. And one is called Ronciccone and the other one Ceni Primo. Why we did this? It's important to explain that Sangiovese is a very sensitive grape variety and can deliver different characteristic depending on where it's planted. And we wanted to show these different beauties, and we can discuss later on about this.
Wow, that is very, very, very cool, Francesco. To have an idea, the Sangiovese out of this 240 hectares, how much is then Sangiovese?
Is the great majority, roughly is 70%.
70%.
And we have some Merlot, some Cabernet, we have some experimental, let's say, variety. We have Petit Verdot, we have Abruzzo that is not Lambrusco, but is a sort of Canaiolo.
Okay.
And then we have white grapes, such as Malvasia Bianca, Chardonnay, Sauvignon. We have a little bit of, I will tell you, I forgot. And so we have a richness of varieties that very much is to experiment. We are starting to do the replanting of what we did at the beginning of the 90s of last century. And we are in the situation that after all these studies, we know Sangiovese much better than at the beginning. So we are replanting Sangiovese where probably before there were other grape varieties. And so the focus is definitely on Sangiovese.
And now I would like you, Francesco, to present a bit your winery, Barone Ricasoli. What is your philosophy? So what makes your winery so wow?
Well, this place is the place where one of my ancestors, Bettino Ricasoli, made the blend of Chianti in the 19th century. So it's because of him that we know the blend of Chianti in the 19th century, Sangiovese, Canaiolo, and for those wines not made for aging, a little bit of Malvasia Bianca. This was his recipe that he wrote in 1872. So we are always mentioned as the fathers of modern Chianti and Chianti Classico, of course. And so we have, in a sort of way, also a responsibility in at the first half of the 20th century. Ricasoli was maybe the Tuscan Lafitte in terms of prestige, beauty, quality of the wines, everything. And my aim is in a different context, in a different time, but is to bring back Ricasoli to be a landmark of the appellation and to be also the creator of the new Chianti Classico. As I was mentioning earlier, tradition needs to be changed and need to be dynamic. And for example, the research that we did and we are still doing, because you never stop studying and researching on Sangiovese, is something that is under the eyes of everybody. And wine lover, Sangiovese wine lover, are really very, very interested in what we are doing because it's quite unique. And so at the end, in the glass, what I want to find in the glass is personality, character, balance, and beauty. So one word, elegance. Elegance should bind together a lot of meanings. The pleasure of drinking, the uniqueness of style, and a perfect approach in vinification. So very clean wine, very sharp wines that year after year deliver a commitment to elegance.
That sounds good. And I think you have already set a landmark, because you have been awarded now for this year with three glasses in Gamberosso, which is like three-star Michelin restaurant. And so you cannot come higher in this classification of Gamberosso. I don't know how they have rated your wine in Decanter or Falstaff or Parker or whatever, but I think it's a really, really cool award. And yeah, what does it mean to you having get this award by Gamberosso?
Well, it's a statement, it's very important, and today consumers are not so much into one, two, three glasses as they were used maybe 15 years ago. Nevertheless, it's a recognition that we have been working seriously well, and that we are making quality. So, I mean, I'm very happy of getting another time a three glasses.
That is very, very good. By the way, of your whole production, how many bottles do you produce a year?
Roughly, we do 1.2 million of bottles. Mm-hmm. And we have several labels, roughly maybe around 10 different labels. And we do the classic Broglio Annata, the regular Chianti Classico. We do a Riserva. We do our Castello di Broglio, that is our Gran Selezione. The French would call it the Grand Vin. The three crew, Colle di Laro, Ciccone, and Ceni Primo. We do Torricella, that is a lovely, underrated, I would say, Chardonnay. Great tradition even for this wine. And then we do Vinsanto, another small project.
I think not everyone is so much deep into wine like us. Can you explain also what does it mean, Gran Selezione? So for the English, it's grand, great selection. So, but maybe you can explain this also to our listeners.
Well, it's, you know, I am also part of the board of the Consorzio Vino Chianti Classico, and I have been working on the creation of this new category. Since ever, there has been just two categories, Normale, Annata, we call it, and Riserva. But you have to know that Chianti Classico has been really upsurging, getting better so much in the last 25, 30 years. A lot of new young entrepreneurs, new people, new ideas. We wanted to take this appellation back to quality, and has been hard work. And for many producers that were already creating top wines, not IGT, not Super Tuscan, but linked with Sangiovese, Riserva was not more enough for these wines. And there was the feeling to create a new category for these top wines. And at the end, in 2014, the Consorzio Vino Chianti Classico has been creating this category. It's a top category above Riserva. And I mean, it's something that from a technical point of view needs a little bit more alcohol, dry extract, and has to be 100% estate produced. But it's a message. It's a message on the market saying, hey, wine lovers in the world, keep attention, because in Chianti Classico we are working well. And we have been upgrading our average quality dramatically, and we have been making world-class wines. And since then, I think it's representing quite successfully this new category that, talking about percentages, is between 4% and 5% of the total production of Chianti Classico.
Okay. Do you have some other criteria also, like, for instance, the aging process, or?
Yeah. It needs 30 months of aging.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, a little more dry extract. The most important thing is that it has to be 100% estate produced. Meanwhile, let's say a Riserva can be made also buying grapes from your nearby Chianti Classico producer.
Got it.
Gran Selezione, no.
Good. So, and dear listeners, by the way, today we will test one Gran Selezione of this amazing winery, Barone Ricasoli. So, Francesco, now we have talked about Gambaro Rosso. Did you get also some other awards during the last years?
Oh, yes. I would say many. From Robert Parker, James Suckling, Decanter, and all the Italian, La Guida Veronelli. We have a lot. On our website, you can check the product, each product. If you go to Colle di La and you choose the vintage, then you have all the words that are mentioned. I don't remember all the awards we got, but I'm happy to receive it, of course.
Very good. And my next question is for you. How does these awards affect your business also?
There are a few international wine guide or magazines that are really influential, but they are still important. And consumers don't pay that much attention, but the trade is more carefully watching this kind of awards, I would say. And it's better to have it than not. This is for sure.
So does it mean it is more important for the buyers than for the end customers?
In a sort of way, I think so, yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so generally speaking, for you, the awards are giving more advantages than disadvantages. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good. Now, Francesco, I would like to ask you, how do you differentiate yourself from your competitors? because at the end of the day, I can choose your wine, I could choose your neighbor's wine, I could choose some other wine. So what makes your wine so special?
It's a difficult question, but I will try to answer. I would say that, first of all, I don't want to do compromises. And I'm not following trends. And we try to keep on what we believe in. And therefore, I said, uniqueness, elegance, consistency, and reliability. What we have been changing in these years, maybe is the use of oak. We are trying to have more the freshness of the fruit coming out. So the use of oak is more moderate. But I never forget that a great glass of wine need to be enjoyed, and you have to drink it. I mean, it's not something that you sip and you judge. You really drink it. So, and at the end, if you notice that the bottle is empty, it means you have been really enjoying your wine. And sometimes we make this story a little bit too much complicated, but it's very easy. When the bottle is finished, it means you like the wine. You love it.
And then it's time to open a new one. So.
Exactly.
Good. What kind of customer experiences do you offer to your to the people coming to your lovely winery?
Well, sometimes I say that one day is not enough. Here you can enjoy history, you can enjoy wine, you can freely walk all around, you can organize a tutored tasting, you can organize a more detailed visit in the vineyard. There is a restaurant, there is a bar, you can relax, you can walk in the woods. There are paths for children. It's plenty of opportunities, and we have new project going on. And so we never rest. We are always...
Then the only thing which is missing is a truffle hunting then, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Well said, well said.
And if you would be a magician, so if you have a magic wand, what kind of additional magic experiences would you like to create for your customers?
A medieval fight in the castle. In between the towers and everything, a little bit, fantascienza, something that goes Adventure. Beyond the imaginary.
Yeah, that sounds very cool, yeah.
Yeah, the location would suit perfectly. Maybe one day.
Good. Yeah, that sounds really amazing. Yeah, we have spoken a lot about tradition and how you changed. And change is always important because this brings evolution and this brings new styles. So what kind of trends do you see for the future?
I think that there will be category. So if we keep on the upper end segment of top wines, I think that more and more the value of importance of terroir is coming out. More and more the DNA, if I can say, of top wines, it's important. And this is the reason why we are working with the single vineyard. This is the reason why we are more and more doing deep focus on whatever concern the process of producing these wines. And I can tell you something, we are Now, since the vintage 2017, so first vintage of Colle di La, we are producing our own yeast from the grapes of the vineyard Colle di La. This is an extremely important passage to define more and more precisely the DNA of this wine. In collaboration then with the University of Pisa, the Department of Chemistry, we are also analyzing all the known molecules of the grapes and then of the wines in different stages, even after 1 year of bottling, in order to pair specific molecules to specific smell. So it's in order to make an organoleptic profile or aromatic profile even better, that normally is done by a palate of a team and not by a machine or by science. And this science is known extremely well by the perfume industry. But in for what we know, we are the first in the world to do this kind of research that is extremely interesting. Because one day you can really track the DNA, not only of the wine, but of the specific parcel of vineyard. And scientifically, it's extremely interesting. And wow. We are already at a good stage of this process. One day, when we will be happy with the result, of course, we will publish all the results.
Wow, that sounds really amazing. But I'm not sure if I have understood 100%. At the end of the day, is it an artificial yeast or is it a natural yeast, but with some specific, let's say, characteristics?
Absolutely natural. Presumably 1 week before the time of harvesting, we take these grapes and we send it to a specialized lab that extracts the yeast from our own grapes and then send it to us. And with this yeast, we do the vinification of the grapes.
I got it. So this was really very cool. I learned something, and also you. Dear listeners of Superyacht Radio, hope you could learn something. Now it's time to have some fun. And during the break, where we will have some cool music, grab a glass or two, grab a nice bottle of wine. I will now open the Colle di La or the Chianti Classico Gran Selezione 2017 of Ricasoli. And whatever you have in the glass then, we will come back in a few minutes and then let's toast together.
Cheers.
So now it's time to say cheers. Cheers, Francesco. Cheers. It's a great pleasure to having you here today. And let's analyze and let's taste your wine a bit more in detail. The color is a bit like garnet. On the nose, it's beforehand, the fruitiness, but then it's a little bit oaky tone. The red berries, blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, raspberry.
Plums.
And plums also. And cherries. So
yeah, cherries. Cherries are always there if you have a good Sangiovese.
Yeah.
Maybe tar, a little bit of tobacco as well. This wine has been bottled February 2020, so it's still young. And it comes from a very challenging vintage because 2017 has been challenging, of course, because of a hot and dry summer. We had great rainfall beginning of September that has been really saving. But we had to select a lot the fruit during harvest. And I can say that at least 30% of the production was lost. So therefore, we had really to do great selection, very serious selection. Some of our top wines were not even produced in such vintage because we wanted to be credible. And we made a little bit less bottle of the crew this year.
Thank you so much for the site information. I think personally on the palate, you have even more plums than in the nose. And of course the cherries again. And yeah.
Normally, Colle di Là is also displaying some mature fruit character.
Yeah, and you have present acidity. Present acidity,
yes.
Very lovely tannins, well integrated. And here now, it's a dark chocolate which comes in the palate. Wow, it's so it would really match perfectly with a dark chocolate.
Yeah, it's a lovely wine.
But of course, it would also pair with lovely lamb steak or a barbecue or a risotto.
I'm getting hungry. Please stop.
Yeah, yeah. Or even Parmigiano. So
yeah, absolutely.
With some olives. So really lovely wine. Great. Great. Yeah, I think
I want
awarded.
Also to show this beautiful label. This is a small detail of a family tree that was designed in 1584, where it displays Broglio Castle. Let's see, is this one here?
In the middle?
No, on down. The left side. You see the fortress.
On the left side. Okay, good.
Yeah, this one.
On the hill.
Yeah, this one is Broglio. And then there is Siena, the villages, and all the rest. And the original print is here at the winery. And when there are tutored tasting, the visitor can see it. It's a beautiful label, very classic.
I love it, yeah. And it's so detailed and so fine with a pencil, so it's amazing.
Yeah, and on the back label is written Pure Sangiovese from the Colle di Là vineyard, located at 380 meters above the sea level on the Monte Morello geological formation. That is limestone, by the way, Alberese, calcareous, sedimentary, locally known as Alberese. Very rocky and deep, of clay, loam texture, extremely calcareous and with skeleton.
Yeah.
The same description of the soil to the other wines that are on the other soils.
What I find amazing is that the tannins are really, really smooth. It's really harmonious in your palate, and it's an amazing wine. On the back label, of course, a black Il Gallo Nero, also the black, how you say in English? The
Black Rooster.
That's a Black Rooster, yeah. And on the front side, you write since 1141. So was it then 1141 when the castle was built, or when you started producing first wines in the winery? So what is the 1141 referring to?
1141, actually, it's a notary document. So it's something written. That certified that the Ricasoli were already in Broglio and were owning Broglio and were cultivating the land and producing wine. So to make a long story short, we said, okay, let's write 1141. But the history of Ricasoli goes much earlier, even before the year 1000, because we were landlords since the beginning, not only in this part of Chianti, but also in El Valdarno, in the valley of the River Arno, the river that touches Florence. And there we had other fortress and a lot of lands, not for wine, but there was a lot of woods, and was important because it was an important way of communication along the River Arno.
Do you know, by the way, what is Sangiovese standing for?
Sorry?
Sangiovese, where does it come from? Do you know it?
Well, there are several interpretations. The one I like the most is that is Jupiter blood.
Yeah. Exactly. The sangue Jovis, Jupiter.
Exactly. And in you know that at the Minister of Agriculture, there is a catalog of all the grape clones and grape variety authorized and certified. And there are more than 120 different clones of Sangiovese. So it's a rainbow story, yeah, of Sangiovese with really different expressions. And two of these different clones are the ones that we saved before the big replanting and are today recognized as Italian certified clones. And we are very, very proud of this. We have been doing all this selection of different biotypes of Sangiovese from a very, very old vineyard. And today, two of these clones are in the list of the Italian grape varieties.
Very, very cool, Francesco. Even you said stop because you are making me hungry. I come back to it. What would be your favorite meal together with this Colle di La Chianti Classico Gran Selezione?
Armin, as you said, this wine has a beautiful complexity, but is very harmonious with great tannins, but soft, very balanced. And I would say that it's very easy to pair such a wine with many, many different kinds of dishes because you have really a lot of possibilities from hard cheeses to a nice sandwich of prosciutto Toscano. And then, going to more important dishes, such as you said, the lamb, beautiful. Roasted lamb, fantastic. I mean, at the end, whatever it contains a little bit of fat side, because this wine will wash out nicely the palate from the fat that is, for example, in steak or some polpette di carne, the meatballs and so on. So I think it's very easy. I mean, there are not so many limitations here. You know, even some roasted seafood could be nice with this wine. Yeah. At the right temperature, always a little bit decanted, fantastic.
And in case it's too difficult to make a decision, you can also take it as a wine for meditation.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's change the topic a bit, Francesco. Already now a whole year we have COVID, and COVID changed our life a lot. Due to COVID, also businesses changed. So what have you implemented during this year to boost your business?
Let's put the mask. No, talking seriously, I flew back from the US just a few days before the lockdown in March 2020. And since then, I haven't been traveling. Therefore, we were here. And we have been really rethinking a lot of what we do. Our life will be different in the future. We will never get back to what we were before, in the good and the bad. I have been more behind the production, behind the overall strategy of what Ricasoli is. We have been working hard in reinforcing the quality of, for example, vintage 2018 that is going to follow this 17. And I think that, I mean, I'm not happy, I'm super happy. I think I have been able to reinforce the teamwork, fantastic, because we have been always together. During the lockdown, wineries such as Broglio were allowed to be open because we deal with nature. Nature doesn't stop. And so we have always been active. Sometimes people from the office was in smart working. Of course, it was difficult. Of course, it's still difficult because in Italy, we sell our wines in the restaurants, and there's no business now because restaurants up and down, up and down, up and close is a disaster. We have no visitors here. We have so many visitors from all over the world, and this is very important for us. And we had no visitors. So we have been gaining sales in those markets where off-premise is stronger, and we have been performing extremely well, for example, in Canada, in the northern countries. But this has not been really pairing the losses in the on-premise market. Having said that, we're still very positive because I think that when all the vaccine will be used by the population, the will of Renaissance will be extremely strong. And so like all the pandemics during the history of mankind, since the Middle Ages, after pandemic, there has always been a very prosperous time. So I think that, and I hope that this will happen again, although the complexity of the economy and the social environment is very big. Nevertheless, we have to be optimistic, and we are optimistic. So, forza e coraggio, we say in Italy, and let's go ahead.
And have you done some, for instance, renovation of the winery, of the vineyards, of your computer system or something like that, or was it business as usual nevertheless?
Oh, we never stopped making investment. We never stopped in doing improvement. We never stopped in trying to work better and be more efficient. So nothing has changed. I have, as I said, beautiful plans to do in the castle in order to give more satisfaction for the visitor that will return traveling to Broglio, and lots of things. I'm very excited. So let's keep fingers crossed and be positive.
That sounds good. And to understand, where do you get the wine? So you said in Italy, mostly, of course, for the restaurants, but I think also in special wine shops. So how is the structure for Italy, Switzerland, where I live, Europe, America? Is it more through distributors? Is it more online? So how is your channel?
Well, the complexity of the world, considering the different also legal system, makes distribution very different from place to place. In Italy, we have our own sales force that is selling to mostly restaurants and wine shop. Very little bit is in a few top supermarket, but very little represent very little. E-commerce is growing. We have also our own e-commerce. We have a wine club on our website. And in Europe, it's very different. For example, in Germany, that is one of the most important country, we have lots of local distributors that are handling our wines. We have an agent there that covers Germany and Austria. In Switzerland, we work with Ulrich and Flaschenpost, and we have planned to increase our presence in Switzerland. And during COVID time, I have been elaborating a plan for introducing our wines in our top wines in Switzerland, because they are not so much known. And then in Scandinavia, as you know, there are especially monopoly countries such as Finland, Norway, and Sweden. They're all important in Europe, every country.
UK, for Switzerland, I might be able also to help you a bit. So, but for other countries, not so much. And how is the situation for Asia and America?
US, we have a national importer, mm-hmm. that is called Folio, owned by the Mondavi family. And even there, we are suffering a little bit because we have always been strong in the restaurant business. And the problem of restaurants is everywhere in the world. Canada, there is the monopoly. And historically, Ricasoli has been always present in the monopoly stores in SAQ and Liquor Control Board of Ontario. And Asia, we have Japan, even there, it's for us very important, the restaurant business. And we have been, let's say, managing quite well in Asia. We are a little bit everywhere from, let's say, Vietnam to South Korea, from Taiwan to Singapore, Hong Kong, and China, a little bit everywhere.
And now it's time to make a short wrap-up. Today, I'm here with Francesco Ricasoli from the winery Barone Ricasoli. We have learned so much about the area, about the long history of this winery, of the interesting history of this winery, a bit about such a great wine. And I would say Gambo also made a good job to award it with 3 glasses. So we have learned also a bit about the strategy in the future and the present strategy. COVID still is not over, but we hope that it is becoming better and better. So, and now it is time to say thank you to you, Francesco, for this great wine talk. I learned a lot. I learned also about this interesting project about producing your own yeast. So this is so amazing. Whenever I interview these lovely people all out of the wine world and we have really great personalities, I always learn something. And I feel so honored that I'm able to do this and try so outstanding good wines. So it is so great to have you here, Francesco. I give the word now to you.
Thank you, Armin. And it was a pleasure meeting you. And of course, you have an open invitation because when you are here, you really can touch with your own experience who we are, what we do, and the approach we do in the vineyard. Last but not least, I want to say that we have also been recently certified sustainable because it's our philosophy since a long time. So today we have been certified by Equalitas. That is an official organization that every year is giving us the certification after a very strong and tight check and control. And we have also to balance of sustainability every year, because every year we have new target to reach in order to be more and more sustainable. So thank you, Armin, for your invitation, and hope to see you soon. All the best. Ciao.
Thank you, Francesco. I definitely will come back to your offer and maybe also with some clients or with some superyacht owners. So whenever you think you should or you would like to visit Italy or one of the other countries, contact me and we can organize something very, very lovely. Now, final prost, prosit, cheers, and everybody stay healthy and see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.
Ciao, Armin.
You're listening to Super Yacht Radio.